Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning, would you? Just trying to follow the Holy Spirit here this morning, and I feel like that maybe I should go ahead and give you what the Lord's given me this morning. So if you'd just return to your seat for a few minutes. And don't sit down, because you're going to stand right back up, unless you just like doing squats. We're going to turn to Psalm 100. And then we're going to bring the, I'm going to preach for a few minutes, and we're going to bring the praise team back, because I feel like that the Holy Spirit deserves a response this morning. Psalms 100. Psalms 100 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are the sheep of his pasture. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Heavenly Father, thank you, Almighty God, for your word this morning, Father. Lord, I pray today, Almighty God, that your word would go within our souls, Lord. Thank you, Father, for speaking in our midst, O God, and now I pray, God, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Continue to work within our souls and within our hearts, O God. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. And for your glory, amen. Amen. You may be seated. It seems like every service for the last few weeks, we've began with a call for people that are not, haven't given everything to Christ and everything to God. And this morning, as the Lord moved upon my heart about this, I was thinking about it, and I thought, you know, what a good thing it is to be a Christian. What a good thing it is to be a Christian. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world can't take it away. This faith that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. I look out there, I don't know if you look out in the world, if you read other newspapers or look at other things besides just Fox, but whenever you look at around the world, you'll see that in China they're rioting because the government's trying to put them back in masks. You'll see that in Iran, they're rioting because the government's trying to force women to wear the all the Islamic stuff, and some of the women have rebelled against it, and they've taken them into custody, and they've killed them, and now they're rebelling over there. You'll see that Russia and the Ukraine are still at war. You'll see the world around you. Over here in the United States, we can't even conduct an election anymore. We've got so many things going on. There's so much graft. There's so much corruption, not only here but around the world. And if you just took a world view, you'd say, My Lord, what's about to happen? This is terrible. This is, you look. Turkey is on the verge of invading Iraq. Turkey's on the verge of invading Iraq because of the Syrian crisis that's going on with ISIS that's up there in the northern part of Iraq. Syria's on the, Turkey's on the verge of saying they're going to invade Iraq and southern Syria. Do you see the world falling apart before your eyes? And if I didn't know Jesus Christ, I would be concerned. I would probably take all my money out and put it in a sock. hide that 75 cents in the backyard. I'd probably make sure I had plenty of guns and plenty of ammo. I'd probably want to have 5,000 or 6,000 rounds of AR stuff. But this joy that I have, what is the source of my joy? The source of my joy is whenever you hear of wars and rumors of wars, when you see wickedness in many places, lift up your eyes, for your redemption draweth nigh. I'm getting ready to leave this world, buddy. I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl, keeping my record right, watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world. This world's getting ready for an Antichrist. This world's getting ready for an Antichrist. This world's getting ready for a one world government. This world's getting ready for the mark of the beast and wars and rumors of wars and atrocities and plagues like you can't imagine. The Bible says that in one plague, that a third of mankind is killed. COVID killed about 1 million in the United States. There's 330 million people in the United States. If it killed a third of them, it would kill 100 million. Just to give you some idea of what we're talking about. This is where the world's heading. This is what the world's going toward. They're racing toward a one world government. They're racing toward the image of the Antichrist. They're racing toward the image of the devil. There's going to be a time when the enemy, the devil, will be in control of the governments of the world. It'll only be for about a 7-year period, but it's going to happen, and we're heading that away. And all I'm telling you is, if your hope is in this world, and if somehow you feel like that somehow it's going to get better and better, I want to tell you something. If we're where I think we are in the image of things, then it's not going to get better. It's just going to get worse. But the righteous are going to become more righteous, and the wicked are going to become more wicked. And there's going to come a day in the not too distant future when there's going to come a trumpet and the sound of the eastern sky, and those that are corruptible will put on incorruption, and we that are mortal will put on immortality. And I'm going to be changed in the moment of a twinkling of an eye, and I'm going to be leaving this world and telling it goodbye. Why? Because this world is not my home. I'm just walking through this place. Where's your treasure? Where's your treasure? You got your treasure all in a 401k? Is that your nest egg? That's going to do it. Got your treasure in this nice job that gives you a nice living? That's what's going to do it. Read what the economists are saying. Look at what all they're saying. Because I'm telling you, this world is headed toward one world government. This world is headed toward Antichrist. This world is headed toward a mark of a beast. This world is headed toward the book of Revelation starting to come to pass. But I want to tell you, you don't have to be sorrowful about that. You don't have to be concerned about that. You can enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and you can enter his courts with praise. Why? Because I serve one who overcame death, hell, and the grave. I serve one who resurrected on the third day. Hallelujah. Who overcame death, who walked in the very place of paradise, who led captivity captive, who rejoiced amongst the saints, who led them out of that place, paradise, and brought them back unto heaven. And now for me to leave this world is to be present with the Lord. Why? Because I serve a risen Savior who came and died for me. And because he did that, I can be forgiven of my sin. I can be cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ. His name's written, and my name's written in the last book of life. I can rejoice. I can shout. I can be glad. Hallelujah. Why? Because I can enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, because I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he will keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I'm going to tell you something. If you're redeemed this morning, if God lives in your heart, if you're walking with Christ, then you're not on a slippery slope. You're not on a slippery slope. You're the only people in the world that are still sane. I don't know if you know it, but everybody else around me is insane. They're crazy. They call darkness light and light darkness. They're so confused they're not even sure what gender they are. And we're so confused that we let them. And I'm sorry about this thing that happened in Colorado. I'm not making light of that at all. It's horrible. That's a horrible event that happened, and I grieve for the families that were affected in that. But they came out and said that as they identify them, they're not going to identify them as male and females. They're going to identify them as their pronouns. I don't even know what that means. But I do know that it's not right. And I'm sorry for the families that lost people in that. I'm not making light of that at all. I'm not. I'm just talking about, you know, even that is the sign of the wickedness of our age, that somebody would come in there and just slaughter people like that. That they would slaughter somebody that's defenseless, that they would go in there like a coward and just slaughter people. But you know what? It's the world you live in. The world is going to get more and more wicked. The world is becoming more and more violent. The world is becoming more and more a place of the devil. The world is headed that direction. But whenever you see the world begin to go that way, then we that are right and we that are following the life of Jesus Christ, we can begin to shout and rejoice because I'm getting ready to leave this world and I'm getting ready to meet my Savior. And the world is going to become more and more and more wicked. But my home is becoming more and more bright each and every day. I'm looking closer to a city whose builder and maker is God Almighty, so I can enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and I can enter into his courts with praise, and I can give glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Why? Because he lives within me. Hallelujah. My yoke is easy and my burden's light, he said. And I've said I haven't always found it that way. He said my yoke is easy. Matthew 11, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden's light. And I'm saying I haven't always found it to be that way. Sometimes I feel like his yoke's not easy and his burden's not light. Sometimes I feel like I'm the only one pulling. I said, sometimes I feel like I'm the only one pulling. Sometimes I feel like I'm the one that's struggling. Sometimes I want to say, hey, Lord, you need to take your share there. I'm pulling the whole wagon here. And one day I was praying about this. I think we were praying for William Martin, I believe, back here in Men's Fellowship. We were praying for him. And all of a sudden, the Lord gave me just a quick word to give to him. And that word was this. You find my yoke heavy because you're trying to pull it all by yourself. You won't wait on me. And I said, whoa, that's not for him. That's for me. That's for me. I won't wait on him. I won't wait on him to start pulling. The Lord knows the way the cart needs to go. He knows the direction it needs to go in. He knows how it needs to work. He understands timings. He understands all those things. He's got a direction and a time and a purpose for what he's doing. But sometimes I want to help him out. So I start pulling a little harder and pulling to the right a little bit because that's the way we need to go. And the Lord's pulling back saying, no, wait, buddy, you're getting ahead of me. So yeah, sometimes the yoke is heavy and sometimes the burden's not light, but it's not his fault. It's my fault. I start pulling. I start trying to make it work instead of laying it at his feet. And what I've learned is that if I lay it at his feet, if I say, God, not my will, but thine be done. If I say, not my will, but thine be done. And I let him carry it. You know, sometimes you got to let things just crash and burn and see where they end up. Do you know that? I've tried to fix everybody and everything, and I found out I can't. It bothers me that I can't. I want to. I want to fix everything. I want to fix everybody. I want to make everything okay. I want to be able to put my arm around you and say, hey, we're going to get through this. It's going to be all right. But I'm telling you, sometimes it's not all right. We had a situation back at First Assembly where a young lady there was expecting a child. The first one was born. It was stillborn. And her husband had fought in one of those Iraqi things, Desert Storm. And he had come back, and he evidently had some kind of something happen over there from some of the chemicals. I don't know what all went on. But the first child they had, all the babies had large heads. I forget what they call that. But they had large heads. And the first one died, stillborn. And the second one was born, and he's okay. But the third one, when he was born, about a month before he was born, the doctors told her, they said, we can't find a heartbeat and we can't see any movement. We think that maybe the baby's dead in your womb. She came down to church that night. She was at church. And she came down. She wasn't here. It was at First Assembly, but she came and stood over here. And they gave the report from the pulpit. Well, I just, have you ever felt like, you know, God's just moving on you to go pray a special prayer? Man, I felt that all over me that night. I was pumped. I walked over there with authority in my face. I was gonna command that baby to rise from the dead, and I did. And the next time she went to the doctor, they said, oh, we found its heartbeat. It's moving around. Everything seems to be fine. And I praise God because I said, he resurrected that baby. That baby was dead in her womb, and he resurrected that baby. And that baby was born. And that baby was born. It had some problems. It had some problems, but it was pretty much all right. And it stayed in the hospital about 7 days or 8 days. I can't remember how long, 7 or 8 days. And whenever it was time, whenever the doctors came in that morning and they said, okay, it's time to send him home. We think he's good enough. He's stable. Everything's good. We're going to send him home. Kathy called me and said, hey, they're sending the baby home today, buddy. And I was, woohoo, man, I was driving down the road. I was just having myself a hallelujah moment. And within an hour, she called me and she said, Scott, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. You need to pray. Within an hour. And what happened was the doctors checked that boy, and he was fine, and they walked away, and within 30 minutes he passed. That fast. Told the parents, you're going to take him home. Oh, he's stable. Everything's fine. Nothing, no problem. And all of a sudden, he died. And man alive, you talk about devastated. I was driving down the road, and I was riding with somebody. Fortunately, he was a Christian. And whenever I got that word, I just started weeping. I was crying. I just couldn't. I was uncontrollable. I could not believe it. And I thought, what in the world? We prayed that God resurrected that baby. How did this even happen? And my world, my belief system, my everything came to a crashing halt. And I could not believe what I was hearing. And I just could not understand this. And they had the funeral. And after the funeral, I was saying, God, I don't get it. Why would this even happen? And the Holy Spirit, I said, You didn't answer my prayer. And the Holy Spirit said, I did answer your prayer. I said, the child is dead. He said, but the child lived. Your prayer was, God, bring this child back to life. And he said, I resurrected that baby in the womb. But because its systems weren't set up right, because that baby wasn't formed to where it could live, then once it was born, I let nature take its course, and it died. And you may say, I don't understand that. But I say this. I say, God answered my prayer and resurrected that baby. And yeah, that baby died. That's right, he did. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe within the next 3 or 4 years, whenever I get to the other side, I'm going to meet that young man. And he's going to say, I remember when you prayed for me in my mama's womb. I remember when I was looking down from heaven. I was dead. I didn't have any life. And you laid your hands upon me. And God sent me back. And I was born. And yeah, I just lived 7 days. But I got the experience. I went from my heartbeat of my mama into the hands of a loving Savior. And I'm going to tell you this morning that I imagine that young man on the other side is not feeling like he was cheated today. I bet he's not feeling like he lost anything, like he missed anything, because he went from mama's heart to the hands of a Savior. And I want to tell you today, I can rejoice in that now, because I know what God was doing. I know what was going on there. And I don't have to grieve over the loss of that child, but instead I can rejoice because God answered my prayer and resurrected that baby. And then he took him and allowed him to die, allowed that body to play it out and allowed it to die so that it could be in his hands. And tonight, today, that young man is on the other side worshiping and praising God, so I don't have to grieve over that and wonder why God did what he did. I can just rejoice because I know a Savior that knows everything, and his timing is perfect, and his love is perfect, and his direction is perfect. And so I'm telling you this morning, if you don't understand something that's going on around you, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, because God knows what he's doing. He said, know ye that the Lord, he is God. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. He hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We are his people. He made us. He formed us. We chose him. He rebirthed us. I have a new daddy. I'm no longer the son of just Robert Briggs. Oh, he is my earthly father, but I have a heavenly father. Hallelujah. And I'm born. I'm in, whoo, hallelujah, I'm in his family this morning. He is my God. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. I am his people, and I am the sheep in his pasture. And he knows what he's doing. It's so easy to get caught up in the things that are going on around us. But this morning, I want to tell you to lift up your head. And this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me tell you, your world's not going to get no better. He said, my sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice. If you can't hear his voice, then that makes you a goat. I said it. I said what I said. If you can't hear his voice this morning, then that makes you a goat. Say, what's the difference? A sheep, whenever it approaches the altar, a sheep doesn't fight. A sheep, you can read this in 100 places. A sheep, when it goes to an altar for it to be sacrificed, that sheep actually will lay down. That sheep accepts the fate. It accepts the will of the master. It allows its throat to be cut. It allows itself to be placed upon an altar. It allows itself to be sacrificed. Why? Because it trusts the master. It trusts what the master is doing. A goat fights against everything. A goat fights against the leash. A goat fights against the smoke. A goat fights against everything that the master's doing. He's never obedient. He's never satisfied. You take a sheep and put him out there in a pasture, and that sheep will only drink from a clear stream. That sheep will only eat the best grass. You have a goat out there, he'll drink the muddy water. He don't care. He'll eat anything out there. He'll eat a can if you put it out there. He don't care what it is. He'll eat anything. He'll listen to anybody preach. He'll listen to anybody says anything. He'll adjust his doctrine 27 times. He won't know what he believes. Why? Because he believes everything. A goat's only going to believe what's right. He's going to listen to that master. He's going to listen to what the master's saying. He's going to do what the master does. Why? Because he's of his pasture. He knows that that master's going to put him in the right place at the right time. He knows that that master's going to feed him from the right grass. He knows he's going to put him in the right stream. He knows that he's going to take care of him. And if he has to use him as a sacrifice, then that sheep will understand, and he will allow himself to be killed and put on an altar at the request of that master, and he won't bleat, and he won't fight, and he won't buck against it. Why? Because he's in the hands of a master, and he trusts that master, and that's what a sheep does. But a goat fights every step of the way. A goat was never content. A goat will constantly find fault. A goat will constantly be pushing against what the Lord is saying. He will not listen to what God says. He wants to have his own way. He pushes against everything that you're doing, and he wants to have it his way, and that goat will fight and fight and fight until it's killed and put on that altar, but he won't do that because he won't listen to the master. He's got no faith in the one that's leading him and guiding him. He's only interested in himself. How about that? Because if you learn to trust the Lord, and you'll learn that you can enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. If we will learn that the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations, if we'll learn to trust the hand of the master and to trust the leash and to trust what God is doing and to know that he's doing right, then you can enter into his gates with thanksgiving and you can enter into his courts with praise, because it's he that made us and not we ourselves. I am bought with a price. I am bought with a price today. I'm not my own. Read the writings of Paul. Most of the time he begins his writings with Paul, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's he saying? He's saying, I'm on a leash and I trust the master. I'm on a leash and I trust the master. I'm in his court. I'm under his power. I'm under his authority. And the Lord is calling to you this morning to say, are you going to continue to go your own way? Are you going to continue to fight against everything I do? Are you going to continue to not come under the hand of the master? Are you going to continue to follow anybody that's got a good story? Are you going to continue to try to pull the yoke all by yourself? Are you going to continue to make things go your way? Are you going to continue to fight against the calling of the Holy Ghost? Or are you going to submit yourself to the Lord this morning and allow Him to become your God? If you submit to the Lord, you'll find that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You'll find that every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn, for this is the heritage. This is the heritage. My dad, and now my mom, my dad in particular, was very intent on leaving me a heritage, leaving me a little sum of money that he could pass down to me as my heritage. And you know what I have to do to get that heritage? I don't have to do anything. I just waited on him to pass. That sounds morbid, but it went to mom, so now I gotta continue to wait. And she's in really good health. I've been trying to run her a little bit, but she won't run. But if she passes, then I, yeah, that's, it's not the first time I've been here. Watch me work my way out of it. Then I'll receive an inheritance that I basically had nothing to do with. I didn't put anything into it. I was just a good son. And that inheritance is laid up for me. I didn't do it. He laid it up for me. Dad laid it up for me. Mom's laid it up for me. I'm thankful. Dad told me I better be careful if he dies first because mom will spend all the money. But I praise the Lord she did not. She has not. He told me that in jest. He did tell me that. But anyway, he told me that in jest. But all I'm saying is that heritage is laid up for me, and I didn't have anything to do with it. It's just coming to me because I'm his son. That's it. And you know what? When Jesus went back up into heavens, he put an inheritance up there for me. I didn't have to do anything in it. I just had to become his son. All I had to do was accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I became his son. And when I became his son, that inheritance became mine. I'm telling you, on this earth, the inheritance right now is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's the inheritance I have from God right now, knowing that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, knowing that in Christ I can do all things, hallelujah, knowing that I am his and he is mine and that I can trust him. That's called faith, and I have faith in God, and I know that, and that's an inheritance that I have because Jesus went before me and I became a child of God, and when I became a child of God, I received that inheritance. But I'm going to tell you something. Whenever I leave this world, whether I leave it by the grave, which I don't believe I'm going to, or whether I leave it by being transformed and raptured, which I do believe I'm going to, whenever that happens, then I'm going to receive my inheritance. And it's something that Christ laid up for me. Hallelujah. It's something that he paid for. It's something that he's done. I'm going to walk on streets of gold because he paid the price. I've got a mansion on a hillside in the other land because he paid the price. I'll be able to live forever in the presence of the Lord because he paid the price. I've got an inheritance that the world doesn't know anything about, and it's not because of anything I did. It simply became I because I became a child of the Most High God, and with that became an inheritance that no man can take from me. Stand with me this morning. Praise team, would y'all come back here for just a minute? In just about 30 days, a lot of you are going to sit around a family gathering. I know a few of you that's probably going to get cold in your stocking. But most of you are going to get a gift of some kind. It may be money. It may be a new PlayStation Switch. It may be clothes. It may be a new pocket knife. I don't know what you're going to get. You may get a new AR. I don't know. Amen. All in favor? No, I don't know what you're going to get. But you know what? For most of us, you're going to get that gift whether you've been perfect all year or not. Because if we only got gifts, if we were perfect, there wouldn't be very many of us that would get anything. Because people would say, well, I know that you talked about me back in January, and so I'm still mad about it, and you ain't getting nothing from me. Most of us wouldn't get anything. But because of love, most of us here today, when it comes Christmas time, you're going to get a gift from somebody that demonstrates the love of Christ as we give one to another. You don't really have to do anything to get that gift other than be in the family. Is that right? Is that right? You just have to be in the family. You just have to kind of show up and be part of the family, and that gift comes to you. It's the same way with Christ. He's just asking you to come be part of his family. He's saying if you will confess your sins and believe in your heart that God raised Christ from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And with that, I told you about the young man I talked to this week in the front yard. And I'm going to tell you that after we prayed, and after the Lord touched his heart, and after he wiped the tears off his face, he said, man, I am so glad you were in your yard today. I'm so glad I found you. I'm so glad that God touched me. And I'm going to tell you, the weight of sin you carry this morning is heavy. It's a heavy burden. Your yoke's not easy. Your yoke is heavy this morning. But Jesus is in this house today to make your yoke light. He's in this house today to give you the opportunity to give your life to him and to allow him to be the Lord of your life. I wish I could say the right words to convince you of how wonderful it is to serve God. I wish I could say the right words. But I'm just going to say that the Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden's light. And as we sing this morning, if you need prayer, I want you to come down. If you need prayer mentally, physically, financially, whatever your need might be, I want you to come down. But if you need to meet Jesus this morning, if you want to rededicate your life back to Christ, because on the resurrection morning, if you get colds, then there's no hope. The gift of God is available to you now. And those that receive that gift will be the ones who inherit the inheritance. So if you need Jesus this morning, if you need to rededicate himself, you know, I'm looking across at your faces right now. I'm just going to tell you. I'm looking at your faces right now, and I could lay my hands on three of you right now who need Jesus, because I'm seeing it all over your face. Your face is heavy. I see that weight of sin upon you. You're looking at the ground. You're looking all. I just see every sign that something needs to change in your life. And I want to tell you this morning that only change that's going to happen is when you come to this altar. Here is where your sin is relieved. Here's where your burden becomes light. Here's where something happens is here. Because if you leave out of here like you feel right now, then you're going to go, and the next time is going to be harder and harder and harder until there'll come a day when you're not even interested anymore. It's called sending away your damn grace. And then your present underneath the tree is coals, because you're going to need them where you're going. Morning as they lead us in prayer. If you need to rededicate yourself to the Lord, or maybe you need to fix something, today's the day to do it. Now's the time to do it. Leave your seat and head this way. If you need prayer for your body, if you would, come over this way. We'll anoint you with oil and believe that the Lord will touch your heart this morning. But make your way down. Don't stay there in the pew debating it. Don't think about it. Just get in the aisle. Get on down here and get it right with God this morning.